May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right. Well, what do St. Peter's sermon, St. Paul's reminder, and St. Mary Magdalene's shocking announcement have in common? They are each expressions of God's message fulfilled. The Old Testament prophets had long promised a Messiah who would snatch victory from the jaws of defeat, who would cause death to die, who would make the stories of human sin as harmless as ghost stories around a campfire. The message was preached, but no one, whether friend or foe of Jesus, could have imagined the way that God would have fulfilled it. Peter preached to a group of Gentiles who were divinely inspired to contact him. And in the process of preaching, a mirror image of what happened to the disciples on the day of Pentecost, which we'll be celebrating in 50 days after this, happened to a gathering of non-Jewish believers who found faith in Christ. They heard the message of peace with God through Jesus our Lord, and the Holy Spirit met them there. And a truce between the holy God and a sinful humanity was preached to them, and it was made possible through the death and resurrection of our Savior. Paul wrote a letter to a wacky bunch of believers in Corinth, so wacky, and actually wacky in the head, that Paul felt compelled to remind them of the basic message that he had preached to them many times before. Again, he patiently reminded the Corinthians of the message of Christ's crucifixion and rising to life in victory over sin and death. However wild and woolly of a bunch that they were, they no longer needed to stay tangled up in sin with no hope after the grave. Mary of Magdala was quite flustered when she returned from the empty tomb, announcing to the disciples who were hiding out in the upper room that their master's body was nowhere to be found. Peter and John took off to confirm the report and found things just as Mary had said. Jesus, who had died on the cross, had vacated the tomb like a butterfly emerging from its chrysalis. And if that weren't enough, Jesus appeared to Mary again in her distraught state in order to reassure her that this was the plan all along. Of course, Jesus had told his disciples about his death throughout the years prior to Good Friday. He even told them that he would rise 3 days later. It didn't sink in at first. But when they did finally come to believe after that Easter morning, they had no doubt. Peter was crucified upside down for his belief in this message fulfilled. Paul was executed by beheading, since he was a Roman citizen, for holding that same conviction. And Mary Magdalene, though she died a natural death either in Ephesus, which is the most likely, or in France, the least likely, depending on what tradition you follow, she never wavered in her belief that Jesus had indeed died and rose again. As we celebrate a baptism here on this Easter Sunday, we not only hear the message, we fulfill it by entering into Christ's own death and resurrection in the sacramental waters by faith. The opportunity to experience God's grace is present at the font. Those who are already baptized reaffirm their belief in the dying God who rose back to life. Nolan, who is being baptized, will be buried with Christ and raised up with him, while his parents and godparents and all of us here who are present will promise to do our part to raise him by both word and example, so that Nolan might take ownership of that faith in a mature way at confirmation later in life. We don't merely hear the message or even just believe it. We live it out in baptism, and we let our lives continue to echo that message each day in daily prayer, regular service to others, constant evangelism, weekly worship, and simply doing what we discover God wants us to do every moment of every day. If we've wandered, we come back. If we've been worried, we cast our cares on Jesus. If we've disobeyed, we repent and lean on Jesus. If we're crippled by doubt, we dig deeper, read more, and trust in what we do know until the Spirit opens our hearts and minds to accept and understand better. If life has left us disappointed, we forgive those who let us down and rely on the one who never fails. If we've never truly turned to Jesus, we can begin that journey with a simple act of trust this morning. The reformer Martin Luther was quite vexed in his younger days over a deep sense of guilt and consistently failing in his attempts to live a holy life in his own human strength. It wasn't until he discovered the gospel through the reading of the scriptures for himself that he came to appreciate the place of grace, God's undeserved favor in healing his troubled soul. This discovery of God's grace at work in us, even before we've had a chance to believe or even obey, is what spurred him to write these simple yet powerful words: "There is no greater comfort than baptism." In fact, whenever he was wearied or distressed or afflicted, he often repeated that simple phrase, "I am baptized, I am baptized," over until he felt rest assured in that grace that he had been given. He realized that God has to take the first step in rescuing us, and we see the Lord's initiative in those sacramental waters. In a real sense, we die to sin and rise to new life with Christ in baptism, looking forward to the day when we'll awaken to what a wonderful gift God's grace has been and that we've enjoyed up till then. Then we take hold of that baptismal grace through a personal decision to keep following Jesus as Lord and Savior. This Easter, let your life shout aloud the message that Peter, Paul, and Mary died knowing was true. The message that their own lives demonstrated through faithful witness. The message that God the Father wants to fulfill in you, beginning in the waters of baptism. The message the Holy Spirit continues in you through an active faith. The message that Jesus Christ has indeed defeated the power of sin and buried death itself in the grave forever. We need no longer stay bound to temptation's power or worry about what comes after we depart this mortal coil. We have been crucified with Christ and raised up to new life with him in baptism. From now on, we can have a confident and living faith that Jesus is all that we'll ever need, more than we could ever even want in this world or the next. Alleluia! Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia! Let us pray. All praise and thanks to you, most merciful Father, for adopting us as your own children, for incorporating us into your holy church, and for making us worthy to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and victorious Savior. Amen.